104.5 The Zone. This is the Wake Up Zone. It's 9:17. Mark Howard and Blaine Bishop. I'm Kevin Ingram. Time to talk some college basketball from Blue Ribbon. Our man Chris Dortch joins us now. Chris, how are you this morning?
I'm well, sir. How are you?
Doing well. We've talked a lot during the show about Vanderbilt blown out by Arkansas last night on senior night. How much does a performance like that in the last home game and an 0-17 SEC record heading to LSU to finish up, when all this is done, how much more difficult do you think the decision is for the administration there regarding the coaching staff and where this program goes going forward?
Boy, that's a great question. I really, as bad as this season has turned out to be, I really don't think there is a decision. I think Bryce Drew, you have to give him the benefit of the doubt when I know that people don't like to hear excuses, but I mean, you lose a kid that you recruited, Darius Garland, who he thought could have had the same impact that Trey Young did at Oklahoma last year. I don't think he would have had that big of an impact because Lon Kruger really gave him free rein. But, you know, everything kind of flows from that. I mean, you would think that they have enough talent, and I think they do to have won a game here and there. But it's a tough league now. It's a really tough league. And so I looked, and I saw that, you know, they'll probably lose Simi Chatu and they'll lose Joe Toy. We know he's a senior. They bring in four star players, including Scottie Pippen Jr. to run the point. From what I'm told, the staff realized that its dalliance with five-star guys can be, you know, I don't know, it's a little bit of a delicate dance you do. You run the risk of, obviously, one and done. You run the risk of maybe outside influences influencing them more than the coach. And now they're getting back to guys that you know, that are program guys. And so, I don't know. If it were me, guys, and I were calling the shots, I would just tell him, you know what, let's just forget this year ever happened, and let's go after it hard next year and then see where the chips fall.
Chris, on the other end of the spectrum is Tennessee. They'll play with a chance to at least clinch a share of the SEC regular season title on Saturday when they play at Auburn. How difficult game could that be with Auburn's ability to put up some points if they're shooting well, and they've also put together some back to back wins here. The one against Mississippi State back last Saturday, and then they rallied to beat Alabama back earlier in this week on Tuesday night. How difficult of a stop will that be to finish up the regular year for the Volunteers on Saturday?
Oh, it'll be tough. I mean, if it weren't for the Mississippi schools, Auburn would be almost right there. They got swept by Ole Miss and lost a game to Mississippi State. But they've won five of their last six, and they're the polar opposite, Kevin, as you know, of Tennessee. Tennessee's offense relies on the three, less than 25% of the time. That's 328th in the country. Auburn's relies on it 42% of the time. That's ninth in the country. So they're polar opposites, you know, on how they try to look to score. They've got two guys that are just killers. If you let them go, Bryce Brown and Jared Harper, both great three-point and prolific three-point shooters. The one thing that you can say, and Tennessee's defensive efficiency has climbed back up with a couple of good performances in their last couple of games. Overall, they're number 22 in the country in adjusted defensive efficiency. But their weakness, their Achilles heel all year, has been closing out on three-point shooters. And I don't know what the deal is. I know Rick Barnes stresses it every time they sit down in a film room, but they have been burned, toasted by three-point shooters. So I think they're more than capable of going in there and winning this game. But if they don't contain Brown and Harper, there's a couple other guys, even their big men can shoot it, it'll be a long afternoon.
Our guy Chris Dortch is with us from Blue Ribbon. We're talking some college basketball.
Well, Chris, sticking with the SEC here and LSU, if they finish in first place in the SEC and win the SEC tournament, do you think there's a possibility they could be one of the number one seeds?
Well, I haven't talked to my buddy Joey Brackets in a couple of days, but I would think there'd be a chance. Yeah, it's incredible the season they've had. They've played 7 overtime games. That's tied for tops in the nation. They're 5-2 in those games. Gosh, they escaped certain death last night at Florida. I could not believe Florida let that one slip away, not only in regulation, but again in overtime. And, you know, they've had a couple of wins that, you know, I don't know, there was some controversy involved in the Tennessee win. Certainly there was a offensive basket interference missed. You know, they're living on the edge a little, but they've got a guy in Tremont Waters who can, you know, certainly the guy is amazing in terms of his ability to lead a team and not be afraid of the moment and to take big shots. So it's a well-rounded team, a young team, but certainly one that, you know, I think the SEC has got three teams that could have a chance to get to Minneapolis, Kentucky and Tennessee being the other two.
All right, give me, I guess, quickly your four number one seeds as of today.
Well, I think you got to look at Virginia. You got to look at Gonzaga. Duke is still going to be heard from. I think Tennessee might do it. I think if Tennessee can win at Auburn and then, you know, get to the semis in the SEC, and I think the committee's work is done before the SEC's championship game. So I think if they can, you know, finish out here strong, they'll claim one of those.
Chris, what about Alabama, who I think missed two big chances against Auburn and LSU last night, or not LSU last night, but LSU over the weekend of maybe sealing their NCAA tournament bid? You know, with these two close losses, they have some work to do, don't they?
They really do. I mean, right now, there's really only, if you look at the SEC, Mark, there's five locks. I think that, you know, Tennessee, LSU, Kentucky have all done, Mississippi State have all done their thing, Ole Miss. And then you've got Florida and Alabama that really need to get busy. Florida puzzles me even more than Alabama. But, yeah, the Tide lost a couple of games at home, and that just defy imagination. I mean, this is a good team when they put it together. Florida is a good team when they put it together. But, you know, the common denominator for both of those is that they're relying on young guards. And when you do that, you can get inconsistent results.
I got to ask you this question. We were debating this yesterday. You know, you heard what happened, you know, with the court trial and the two guys who were, you know, involved in paying recruits money are going to prison, but the judge saying that they were sort of fronting for Rick Pitino and, you know, giving him plausible deniability. How much do you think that hurts Pitino's chances of getting a college job with that statement from the judge hanging out there?
You know, it's amazing to me, Mark. It's amazing how you'll look at somebody like Dick Vitale beating the bandwagon for Pitino to get back in. And, you know, Dick's a good guy. I consider him a friend, a truly decent person. But you're stumping for a guy who basically presided over a lawless program. And I think that he should never be invited back in, as good a coach as he was. And I hate to say that because I respect him as a coach. He pioneered the three-point goal when it was first introduced. He's an innovator, a motivator, and a great coach. But having said that, I mean, I think UNLV, I've read, might already be tired of Marvin Menzies, and that would be a perfect place.
Is he going to chew on a towel just for a dramatic effect?
He's got the experience running a brothel on campus.
Yo, listen to you. Way to go.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think UCLA would take him. You know, all is forgiven when you've got a program that should be winning and isn't, And you've got these fickle and somewhat insane fan base like UCLA. They think it's back in the 60s and Coach Wooden is still there with his rolled-up program. It's not the case anymore. It's hard to win at schools like that. There's a reason Shaka Smart turned down jobs like UCLA, Illinois. You know, you've got to recruit these places, these urban centers like L.A. and Chicago, and there's great players there, sure, but there's people with their hands out, too, representing these kids, and it's a sticky wicket, and a lot of coaches don't want to get involved. And but I don't know. I just don't know. I think that there are schools that would hire Rick Pitino tomorrow, Mark.
There are really good guys in the game, and you know most of them, Chris. How good a story is Bruce Weber? You know, John Curry, who you know might not be very high in the estimation of Tennessee fans, but he hired Weber, and it wasn't a popular hire when he was at Kansas State, and now they have a chance to win the Big 12.
Well, here's a backstory for you. I'm at the Final Four in 2012 in New Orleans, and none other than John Curry texts me and says, "Who would you hire if you had my job?" I texted him back, and I said, "This is a true story." I said, "Bruce Weber." He said, "No." He said, "No." He wants to stay out of it a while, doesn't he? And I wrote back and I said, "Well, he's interviewing at the College of Charleston right now. Call him." Okay? So two days go by. It's a Saturday of the Final Four. I get a text from John Curry. He says, "Thank you." I text back and I say something to the effect, "You dog, did you hire him?" He texts back and says, "Press conference, 3 p.m. He says, "I'm going to send you some K-State gear."
You're a kingmaker, man.
So he sends me one of those Nike dry T-shirts. I'm like, dude, come on. You know, this is what I get. But
all you got's a lousy T-shirt.
Yeah, it's a true story. It sounds like I'm a BSer, but it's a true story. I've known John for a while. I hated to admit it a few months ago when he botched that football hire, but he's basically a good guy at heart, but he's a bean counter, not a coach. It doesn't have the context. Otherwise, why would he be asking a sports writer? But in answer to your question, Bruce Weber's a good guy. He does things the right way. You know, the program fell into a state of disrepair at Illinois, but his was a cautionary tale, and it's why Shaka Smart didn't take the job. He didn't want to go to Chicago and cheat. So, you know, he goes to the heartland where, you know, you get guys that go there just to play ball. You know, there's no allure or anything like La La Land or anything like that. So he just gets hard-working Midwestern corn-fed boys that grew up shooting on the side of a barn, and he loves it, and he's a great tactician, and so I thought it was a good hire, obviously, at the time, and even though it took John Curry a couple of texts for it to be convinced, and he's done a great job, and, you know, and Dean Wade has been hurt a lot, too, so if he's healthy and ready to go, I mean, look what they did last year. They got to the Elite Eight. And
yeah, if Dean Wade had been healthy last year, they might have gone to the Final Four.
Could have, Kevin. And he's just here's the thing about Bruce Weber, guys. He's just there are most coaches in this game do things the right way. Rick Barnes does things the right way. You know, guys like that. Tom Izzo does things the right way. Bruce Weber's never ever deviated from that. He's just coached hard, coached sound principles, and, you know, he's not the sexy hire or anything like that. He's not a quote machine or whatever, but he gets the job done, and you know, John Curry can look back with pride on that one, even if he botched a football hire
Chris
a little
George,
bit down the road.
Thanks so much, man. We appreciate it.
All right, buddy. Bye.
Okay. College basketball power broker and writer Chris Dorch from Blue Ribbon joining us here on the Wake Up Zone. I hadn't heard the full extent of that story. That's good stuff. 9:31 the time. A former GM in the NFL has made waves this week with his comments about the Heisman winner, what that Heisman winner's coach had to say when we come back. This is the Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone, and Mark's going to tell us about the Lee Company.
That's right. Show your home some love. Bring Lee Company in for all your home maintenance and improvement needs. Lee Company handles all of your heating and air conditioning, plumbing, electrical, handyman, and home improvement services. Believe me, I use them for a lot of things, and they're recognized by the Better Business Bureau as an A-plus rated company. Enjoy the convenience of calling one number for all of your home maintenance needs. That's right. Call Lee Company today, 615-567-1000, or online at leecompany.com. Lee Company, serving Middle Tennessee families and businesses since 1944. Imagine life better.